Blog Talk Radio.
They cutting off welfare. Big thing crime is rising there. You got whites killing blacks. Cops killing blacks. And blacks killing blacks. Shit just gonna get worse. This is gonna come sometimes. Straight soldier. All you want to be a soldier.
Black power, power to the people. Black power for my people. Power for all oppressed people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. And I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and smells of North America. As always, we count this a privilege. We count this a joy. It's an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, brothers, and some others. From this bold revolutionary radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. And we're happy to come over your airwaves, come into your homes, into your automobiles, into your college dorms, or wherever you may be at this particular hour, 8 p.m. on the Eastern Time, right here on your dial. We're thankful to be here with you, and thankful to be able to get off into some serious, serious dialogue tonight on not only the state of the black nation, the state of our people, the state of our neighborhoods, but we also have to talk about what's going on across the country in terms of who the real enemies are, why black people are waking up to the fact that we are being treated or have been treated for a long time like enemies in a land that says that you are part of it, a citizen, that you are and that we are supposed to be a part of the infrastructure. Now, you know, I want to first open up giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers who answers to many different names and answers by many different names, and we respect and give thanks and credence to them all. We give thanks to our ancestors, our African ancestors, the original black man and black woman, first man and first woman on the planet. We give thanks to them. We give thanks to the wonders of yesterday. We give thanks to the education of yesterday, the mothers and fathers of mathematics, science, alchemy, chemistry, and all the sciences and arts. We give thanks to them. We give thanks to the original governments, all from Nubia to Kush to Kemet to wherever you can find us. We give thanks for that. Of course, we give thanks to our freedom fighters and those who helped us when we were betrayed and struck a blow to our head, as the Masons say, struck a blow to our head, lost and robbed of our knowledge of self, our knowledge of culture, our folkways, forays, norms, and the power of our own being, brought here on a westerly course, stripped of our raiment. Everything that we had, it made us a great from us, and we were given an alien culture with an alien God, an alien spirituality, names that were not ours, and everything that reflected our colonizers. We're thankful for those who rose up against Sir Captain John Hawkins and those who rose up against the slave traders and the colonizers. We're thankful for them. We give thanks for those who fought, whether in the Caribbean or the United States of America, wherever they fought for their liberation and freedom. Not talking like Patrick Henry about giving me liberty or giving me death, but hell, saying that old adage from the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, and a life for a life. We're thankful for those like the great, great Reverend Nat Turner, Bookman, Dessalines, Toussaint Louverture. We're thankful for the fighters all through the South, all through the East, West, North, wherever you can find them, Midwest, wherever you can find our people. We've been fighting a long time. Thankful for Robert F. Williams and Mabel Williams, the Deacons for Defense. Thankful for Lowndes County, Alabama, and the Black Panther Party and the STIC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Give thanks to H. Rap Brown, later Imam Jamil Alameen, and Mukasa Ricks, formerly Willie Ricks Dada. Give thanks to, of course, Sister Shirley Chisholm and Ida B. Wells and that great, great billionaire of her time, Madam C.J. Walker, and so many others, Queen Mother Moore. Give thanks to Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvin, the UNIA. Thanks to Noble Drew Ali and the Morris Science Temple of America. And thanks to Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. Thanks to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, all of his students. Give thanks to Minister Malcolm X and the OAAU and the Muslim Mosque Incorporated. And give thanks to all formations of Black Panthers. Give thanks to all the liberation armies and formations, all of you all, in today's time who are fighting. We give thanks to you, wherever you are across the nation, whatever formation that you're fighting from. Of course, giving thanks to the greats like Chairman O'Malley Yashiteli. Give thanks to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And give thanks to the greats out there across the nation who are pushing hard to bring our people on a right path and a right track to do for self, whatever your formation is. I'm not set tripping. I'm just giving thanks. I can't thank you all, but I want to say thanks to you all on Black Power Radio. We started in 1989 out of Dallas, Texas, with our founder, Aaron Michaels, the brother Aaron Michaels, who started the new Black Panther Party out of Dallas, and linked up with the great, great Alderman Michael McGee from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, We give thanks for them and the upstart there. We give thanks to the Black Power General who served as our national chairman from 1998 to 2001, and the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General. Thanks to our Chairman Emeritus, Attorney at War, Attorney General. You know him as a black man who's been on the scene since the earliest days of Howard University with his organization called Unity Nation. And he chaired this organization until his term ended last year of November, turning Malik Zulu Shabazz. We're thankful to the brother who's holding the torch high and been pushing a long time as the national assistant to the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, coming out of Dallas, Texas himself, or the Texas area, something about that Texas area. Coming out that Texas area with the group called MIAT, which is the Metropolitan African American Think Tank. Him and Professor Sims and others out there who are organizing our people, and him hooking up with Dr. Khaled Muhammad and crisscrossing this country doing African Holocaust conferences and waking our people up on behalf of the liberation of our people, then becoming the National Chief of Staff for the new Black Panther Party and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and now the National Chairman who will be on tonight, our National Chairman, Minister and General Hashim Nzinga. I'm Sean Kwali, National Chief of Staff, happy to be here with you. And most of you all know me. Y'all know I'm always glad to hear your voice. We got a lot to talk about tonight on behalf of our National Central Committee, all of our chapters and members. Black power to you. That means to define, develop, and defend what's in the best interest of black people. Again, black power means to define, develop, and defend what's in the best interest of black people. Say black power to you. And free the land, of course, Hotep. We greet you in peace with Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom. We say, of course, peace to the gods, peace to the earth, peace to you. And we need some peace in the land. But we know that, according to the scriptures, that peace can only be secured by some strength. And as we look on the horizon, we understand that it looks as if there's no peace in the land anywhere. It looks as if there's chaos and confusion and things are topsy-turvy all over the land. I'm here to tell you this. It didn't just start with August 9th and Ferguson, Missouri, and our dear departed brother now, Mike Brown. It didn't start with that. You can't start your time clock with Mike Brown and then say all of a sudden now that Mike Brown's situation has caused this situation all throughout America. It hadn't started right there. You can't look back to Jordan Davis and say Jordan Davis' situation started what's happening right now. You can't even go back to Trayvon Martin and say the Trayvon Martin situation started all of this. This has been happening, brothers and sisters, as a progression since 1555. Since 1555, since the very, very first African slave was bartered and put into the transatlantic slave trade, that's when this began. This started right there, 1555, coming up out of Africa, coming up out of the mother continent, coming up out of the motherland. That's when this situation started. That's when this confusion started. That's when these troubled times started. That's when this chaos started. That's when all of this attack against the black man and black woman, against our history, against our culture, against our folkways, against our forays, against our norms, against the power of our own being, that's when this started. So it didn't just start. This is not a new occurrence about what's going on in North America. This is not a new occurrence about what's happening in the world of black life and black people. It is just now being brought to the forefront for many of you. For many of you are now beginning to wake up and say, hey, there's something going on in the world that doesn't sit right. There's something going on amongst black people that don't seem to work in our interest. There's something happening to us that many of you all are saying that you don't like. And what I'm saying is if you don't like it, if you don't like what you see, if you don't agree with what you see, then I got to tell you, you got to take, as we say in the new Black Panther Party, you got to take charge of your post. And you got to take charge of your neighborhoods. You got to take charge of your families. You got to take charge of your destiny. Because it's not going to change by some abracadabra, some kind of alakazam, some kind of shazam, some kind of poof. It's not going to change like that. We understand that the Creator only helps those who helps themselves. That you can only help yourself if you do for yourself. So we got to look at some serious situations on, does the Dred Scott ruling still apply? Does the Dred Scott ruling of yesterday still apply for today? Now, some of you may not understand or may have not studied what Dred Scott was and what it represented. Dred Scott was a case where the findings came out and it said that the white man, I'm paraphrasing, white people did not have to respect black people, that there were no laws according to black people that the white man or white woman were duty-bound to respect. And so we find ourselves here asking the same question in 2014, all that time later. Are you equal under the law in North America as a black man and black woman, a descendant of an African slave or African people? And if so, why is it that we have to fight for so much what we call, quote-unquote, civil rights, human rights? Why are we in 2014 still fighting for rights and fighting to be recognized and fighting to be treated as equal citizens under the law if we supposedly are guaranteed the same equality, the same liberties, and the same rights? Why in 2014 can you still look at images of today's time and then look at images of yesterday's time from the 50s and from the 60s and 70s and it almost looked like the same picture? Why are we in 2014 still holding signs that say, I'm a man, respect me as a man? I'm a woman, respect me as a woman. I'm a human being, respect me as a human being. Why in 2014 is this still necessary? If we are equal citizens under the law and if we're guaranteed the same rights and same liberties and stuff the same, you have to take into account that your forefathers and foremothers and my forefathers and foremothers fought many different kinds of campaigns here in this country. Many of our families fought in the military. Many of us come from military families or have family members who either served in the military or are serving in the military. Many of our people in different campaigns and theaters of war were placed on the front lines at one point in time, fighting in segregated companies at one point in time, eating out of segregated mess halls at one point in time, as that great, great fighter from Louisville, Kentucky told you, Muhammad Ali told you, at one point in time, having to make the decisions on who to make the stand against because no Viet Cong had ever called him or us nigger. We got to talk about that. Many of our parents and forefathers and foremothers and people in our family today fighting in the service but did not enjoy the same rights as Caucasians who fought the same fight, fought in the same battle, fought in the same company, come back to the country and still had to fight for a bite to eat and still had to scrap to make a living, still came back to dilapidated housing, still came back to unequal treatment, still came back to miseducation, still came back after doing all that fighting. Many black soldiers saying the same thing today, telling us the same thing today, that they're coming back to dilapidated housing, coming back to inequality, coming back to racial prejudice, coming back to racism, and coming back, period, to promises that were unkept. Some of your families, some of my families, other families, fought and trained on these police forces, had to find jobs, found work on the force, and they found that there's segregation or division within the police forces even, that the black officers are oftentimes kept out or pushed out by the white officers, that there's racism so thick you can cut it with a knife, even on the force today. Many finding themselves disgusted at the treatment of their own people and the treatment of our own communities, our own neighborhoods, having to be forced to keep some kind of oath and some kind of brotherhood, even though you know it's wrong. That's going on. Where's the so-called equality? Where's the so-called universality? Where is it? You go to the college campus, and many of the colleges treat your young boys and young girls and treat your family members like they ain't nothing. Treat them as if this is 1955, if this is 1960, if this is 1961. Get treated like they ain't nothing. Trying to get an education, trying to matriculate their way through school, trying to get the degrees and trying to make their way to get towards the quote-unquote American dream. But as I read in an article this week, over 60% in America believe now that the American dream is unreachable, that it's unattainable, that it's an illusion. What's happening here? What's happening is that you're waking up to the realization that, as we have known the whole time, there are two Americas. There are two Americas. One separate and one unequal. Two Americas. It is not the same America for the black man and black woman that it is for Caucasian people or even rich Caucasian people. It's not the same. It's not the same for the brown man and for people of color. It's not the same. Not the same. Two different Americas. And many of our people and many people of other cultures and ethnicities are waking up to the fact that we have been promised a lot and that you have been given a lot of talk and rhetoric, but the talk and the rhetoric has not equaled up to the action. It is our people who are inordinately incarcerated. Black people I'm talking about, and some brown people. We're the ones filling up the penitentiaries. We're the ones filling up the jails. We are the ones who are being incarcerated for drug offenses and given unimaginable numbers while others are getting slaps on the wrist, the so-called one percenters and the rich getting slaps on the wrist. We are the ones who are being targeted by CPS, Child Protective Services, and state services to erode and destroy the black family. Although we are not the ones who make up the majority of those on welfare programs, food stamps, SNAP, and whatnot, that goes to the single Caucasian or white female. Yeah, some of y'all don't know that, but it's true. Our families are the ones that are decimated, where the unions of black male to black female families are being eroded, where the male, black male fatherhood image all but destroyed. The magnification of the single black female magnified in America as if that's the full story. What's going on here? Well, everything that's in relation to black people in North America is exemplified in the negative light. And then other cultures are exemplified as if they are the greatest thing since sliced bread. I want to be clear. It's not just blacks who kill blacks. Statistically came out, 85% of Caucasian people are killed by Caucasian people. Every ethnicity, every culture has its internal problems. Every culture has its issues. But you don't see the issues magnified and blew up before the world, made into movies and made into music and made to seem as if that is the way that it is. You don't see that. You see it when it comes to black people. Why? Because black people have been criminalized in the media and criminalized in America and made to be something other than ourselves. We have been the most downtrodden, the most rejected, the most despised. Us. Coming from the greatest of people who have given, as I said in the opening, have given mathematics, science, chemistry, alchemy, engineering, all of that to the world. Not just the Caucasians, to the world. And in an attempt to keep us in a docile position and to make sure that we never rise to our fullest potential and rise into our greatness, there's all kinds of plans and schemes and machinations that's tempted to keep us in a position of servility, or to keep us as slaves and to keep us in a slave-like condition. I'm here to tell you, as we go forward into this, you can only do that for so long. You can only keep a people who yearn to breathe free, and who yearn to walk in the light of a brighter sun, you can only keep us in that kind of position and condition for so long, because after a specific period of time, it's like a pressure cooker. And as Minister Malcolm X taught you over 40 years ago, that if you do not relieve that pressure cooker, pressure cooker is inside your own house, after a while, that pressure cooker will erupt. That pressure cooker will expand. That pressure cooker will do everything it has to do to relieve itself of the burden of the pressure. We've been under this kind of pressure as a people for a long time. We've been Jim Crow. We've been black-coded. We've been through busings and boycotts and civil rights movements. Been through early black power movements. And we've been through migrations. Been through black Wall Streets, Tulsa, Oklahoma's, and others. Been through a whole lot just to be so-called treated as equal. And here we face 2014. And really, it looks as though in 2014 that none of that has happened. It looks as though we have all but started from square one. It looks as though you've never had a Marcus Mosiah Garvey. It looks as though you've never had a Paul Robeson. It looks as though you've never had a Harriet Tubman. It looks as though we've never had a Queen Mother Moore, a Madam C.J. Walker, a Shirley Chisholm. it looks as though we have never had an Angela Davis or an Assata Shakur or Huey P. Newton or Malcolm X or Elijah Muhammad or a Khalid Muhammad. It looks as though we've never had people who have come to us and helped our people to get on the right path. Why? Because every time our people have worked to get on the right path and picked ourselves up, we are always met with different forces of opposition, systemic opposition, planned opposition, which has maneuvered to keep us in the slave-like condition. Now, some of you say that when we talk like this, that we are blaming, you know, that we are, what you call it, playing the blame game. Some of you say we're playing the race card. Well, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad used to say the whole time, if you call that playing the race card, how did the race card even get in the deck to begin with? We're talking about who's the real enemies here to the state. Who are the real enemies here? How did the race card even get in the deck to begin with? If our people originally allowed every culture, nationality to come amongst us, and we did, do trading with us, do all kinds of customs and rituals and things with us in peace, then you cannot historically say that it was the African or black man and black woman that was the race, playing the race card. Can't say that. Black people even today put up with every race, put up with every people. We deal with every people. We handle every people. It was our people who I agree with it or whether we agree with it or not. It was our people who fought for integration, who fought to be integrated because we believed, our people believed at that time, and some of you still believe today, unfortunately, you believed that that road to integration was a road to peace, and you believed that if you could be a part, that if you could go to the toilet, that if you could get in their schools, if you could work on their jobs, you believe that you would be on a road to peace. Not understanding the old adage and the old song that say, God bless the child who has his or her own. Didn't understand it as a people. I think we're coming into understanding that now. But we thought at one particular point that if we pushed for integration and to be integrated into the society, that we would be on a road map and a right road towards peace. You have to go back to the later words of the great Martin Luther King Jr. Not some of the early words where they try to use that and magnify that. Go into his later contemplation where he said he feared. I think he was talking to Harold Belafonte. He said he feared he was integrating his people into a burning house. That's what he said. And he began to oppose the war, talking about Martin Luther King Jr. And he began to organize for the poor people, the poor people's campaigns. See, he had begun to wake up and begin to alterate some of his tactics within what he considered nonviolent struggle. Because he began to understand that no matter how much nonviolence he preached, and no matter how many nonviolent tactics he used, there would still be those who would violently oppose him and violently try to put down the movement, even though he preached nonviolence. See, that was Minister Malcolm X's critique of him. That was the Black Power Movement's critique of him. That was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's critique of him and others' critiques Kwame Ture's critique of him, Stokely Carmichael, critique. And when you are dealing with those who violently oppose you, that you must defend yourself against the violence of an aggressor or aggressors. See, we draw the same variance today in 2014. The same variance is drawn in 2014 when these youngsters is rising up and saying we've had enough, not just in Ferguson, but all across the country. And then you have these NyQuil preachers. That's what I said. You have the NyQuil preachers coming in to put them to sleep. And they say, no, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Just keep your hope. And Jesse said, keep hope alive. These NyQuil preachers and NyQuil civil rights leaders and activists and others that come in to quiet the legitimate concern, the legitimate aspirations of the young and the dissatisfied. But you won't be able to do that so easily today because most of these out here are controlled by Sean Quali. They are not controlled by Hashim and Zynga. They are not controlled by any so-called of the so-called mainstream leaders out there. They are controlled by God and God alone. And it is that God that is spirit and moving in their being. It is our ancestors that are moving in their being that are saying, get up. Get up and go see about your people. Get up and see about what's happening to us. Get up. The spirit is saying, their ancestral power is saying in them. And they're getting up. Where yesterday they may have been extra quick to kill someone who looks like them. Now many of them are saying, now we see the error of our ways. And this is frightening to a power structure that has dedicated itself to dividing black against black, dividing the young against the old. Go into the letters. This is the blueprint letters of Willie Lynch and the Willie Lynch cycle, where you divide the house against itself. That's frightening to a power structure that has spent massive amounts of money to keep tribal warfare, gang warfare happening, to keep religious beefs going, political beefs going, to keep black people separated from the new Black Panther Party. That's frightening to them. And so when they see that, they say, we got to make a move. We got to do something to either cause disruption and to cause the bickering and to cause the agitation one against the other. We got to do something to keep that going, or we got to make some moves. And that's what's happening. Some moves being made to put down the consciousness of those who are coming awake. All kinds of things out here to take away your consciousness. Television, radio, music, miseducation, as Carter G. Woodson talked about. All kind of things out here. But those things are being shunned more and more. And the young black man and young black woman who at one point would never look at the news and never take interest in what's really happening in his or her life now is beginning to take interest. And what is so interesting is that the ones who you have made hopeless, the ones who feel like they won't make it to see 17 and 16 and 15 and won't make it to 20. Those are the ones that have taken the front lines. The ones who have said to us and said to those out there, we would rather give it all up We would rather lose everything than allow another generation to end up in the condition and position that this generation is in. And you got to think about that. Those who are not a part of this generation, who are the elders and who are a little older, you got to think about that. How your youth out here don't feel like it is worth going forward into the so-called American dream. Don't feel like it's worth going into the so-called American dream if it's going to stay the way that it is. And it is staying the way that it is. There's no reason for anybody who is benefiting. I'm talking making millions and billions of dollars off of the incarceration, off of the drug trade, off of the miseducation, off of the ill health of our people. There's no reason for them to change a damn thing. They have no reason to do it at all. Because they're sitting back comfortable, living the life based upon the misery of black people and the suffering of black people. That's why all of the so-called ghettos have the same blueprint. They look exactly the same. Maybe a little bigger, maybe a little smaller. May have this kind of accent here, that kind of accent there, but it's the same blueprint. The ghettos of America, the black neighborhoods of America, folk, they function off of the same blueprint. The same thing, because it is the same design all across America to keep the black man and black woman so disheveled, so hopeless, so poor, so raggedy. Keep you so depressed, so stressed, so ill-informed, so miseducated, so desperate that the only way that you can see any kind of light and glimmer of hope is to either, as Biggie Smalls talked about, have a wicked jump shot or sell a crack rock. But the only way that you can come out of these conditions now is to become a homosexual rapper and promote homosexuality. The only way that you can see yourself coming up out of these conditions is to be some kind of sellout and some kind of punk and not use your brilliance and your strategy to maneuver yourself and your family and your people out of the pitfalls. It's the same design, whether you're in Los Angeles, whether you're in New York, whether you're in Detroit, Florida, Texas, whether you're in Illinois, whether you're in Missouri, whether you're in Oklahoma, doesn't make a difference. The design is the same. The white-black dynamic is the same. It's the same. For those of you who travel, you can see it. The design is the same as the days of apartheid in South Africa, to keep the white or the light on the top and the dark on the bottom. It's the same. It's the same. Because there is a history in your blackness, a history in your culture. Now, we make all hues and all colors, but there is a systemic design set out to elevate whiteness over blackness, even in today's time. And what really messed you up out there was when hip-hop came out in the mid-80s or early 80s. Hip-hop came out, and hip-hop was a thing that was teaching the world what was really happening in our neighborhoods. Rapper's Delight and Sugar Hill Gang and all that good stuff, Grandmaster Flash, all that stuff, Nelly Mill, all of them came out talking about what was the real reality, what the real reality was of our people. And that began to spread across the world. Then you had the Run DMCs. You had the LL Cool J's. You had others speaking that concrete poetry. Eric B. and Rakim's. And you had King Sons. You had those that began to get off into the Nation of Gods and Earth, the Nation of Islam, and all of that. They began to put that in the music. They begin to put the pantheism in the music, like Paris and Tupac Shakur, Ice Cubes. They would put that stuff out there. NWA, coming up out of the West Coast, gave you a conscious gangsterism. That's what I said, a conscious gangsterism. Put songs out like Respect Yourself, F the Police, and all that the NWA put out there. See, they were telling you what was going on, and that stuff was speaking to us as a people, but it also began to reach across even our own cultural borders. That stuff began to get into the hands of even poor white people. White folks that were not in the elite circles. And they begin to say, damn. And some of them even begin to resonate with that hip-hop music. See, that messed you up now. That messed the white power structure up a little bit out there. Messed you up because now you have even your own young who are sympathizing, and even some coming up in some of the same impoverished conditions as the black man and black woman. That messes you up out there. That mess us up, it messes you up. Because the cover's slowly being pulled off, not only by us, not only by the brown, not only by the yellow, but even your own young. They calling you on your BS. As the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad so eloquently predicted, they're calling you on it. So it's going across cultural borders, and the truth of who the black man and black woman is, it's going across cultural borders. But it's us who have to realize who we are. It's us who have to wake up, clean up, and stand up in this hour. You cannot win trying to out evil the devil. You can't do that. You have to be your original self. You have to be your right self. You have to stand on the square and be truthful in all deeds and all actions. Got to clean up from the ways of this white man's world, as Tupac talked about. Got to clean up from the ways of the slave master and their children's reality. Have to clean up in the original ways of the laws of Maya, which later became the Ten Commandments. Got to clean ourselves up as a people. We have to clean ourselves up. Can't wait on some external force, some great white hope, to come down and clean up the black community. They're trying to clean up and fix up their own community. They're trying to salvage whatever community they got left, because they in trouble as a people. It's not going to happen. The first law of the universe is self-preservation. We have to clean ourselves up and challenge ourselves to do better and be better. To do better and be better. And it goes into what I spoke on earlier in the week about not being afraid to challenge the internal problems of our own neighborhoods. It angers us in the New Black Panther Party. And it angers me in specific, and our national chairman in specific, to focus on everything except for self. We know we've been at war for survival for over 400 years against established forces and all of that. We know that. But when some of our own become the faces of our destruction and become the faces of our opposers, where those of you who have been propped up by destruction now are the spokesmen for destruction, you look just like us. That is a problem. When you look at those who have been propped up in this latest episode of debacle in Ferguson, mostly black faces propped up. Mostly black faces that are propped up and put before the people, as we prepare to bring on our national chairman, put before the people to pacify the people. Put before the people as to say, this is an example of some good blacks here. These are the good blacks These are the ones that you should strive to be like. You know what I'm talking about. Propped up before you at that former police chief, Daniel Isom II, and had this other woman on, Robin Clear Mountain, this black woman named Robin Clear Mountain, put up Captain Ron Johnson and all of these other Negroes in front of you to pacify you, to say this is a good example of some blacks. These are the ones you should strive to be like. But then the young warriors who, if they never had agitated, you can say what you want to say about the looting and all of that that took place. And I'm not saying that that should have happened. I'm not saying it should have happened at all. But if they never did that, and that's not all that they did, they were protesting out there. Can't just put it to some small hand of looters. Wasn't just no mass looting. That was a small thing that happened out there. Small thing. But what was massive was the demonstrations and the protests and those young brothers and sisters who organized in their own fashions out there to get justice for our people. If they never did that, if they never made those kinds of moves, you wouldn't be talking about no Mike Brown. It would have just been another young black male who was shot down in the streets at the hands of the police agency of Ferguson. And it would have been another day at the office. But because of the response of the young, understand what I'm saying, the black young, because of their response, this has reached all the way around to Tibet. All the way around the world. This has reached international proportions, all the way to the UN, United Nations, for whatever that's worth. It's reached all the way around the world because of what the young black male and female did here in North America. Now that means something. The same young men and women who are being incarcerated at an all-time high. Drugs pushed in our neighborhoods to be made pushers and to be criminalized, miseducated. Those are the same ones who have made an international movement. The same ones who have brought worldwide attention to the plight of black men and black women here in North America and throughout the world. You better understand what I'm talking about. You better understand the power of this generation. Minister Louis Farrakhan is quoted as saying the strongest generation that had ever existed is this generation. Now, I know some of you take variance with that and you don't like that. You say, no, it can't be possible, can't be true. Not this generation. Yes, this generation is built up of that kind of makeup. Where, as I told you, they say they're not willing to go another generation or two losing like we're losing, where somebody and somebodies have to draw a line in the sand. And after that line is drawn, have to be willing to carve out a plan for self-determination. Now, as we go forward in this broadcast, you're going to hear from our national chairman. You're going to hear from a billionaire CEO, Mr. Mike Roberts, who have to talk about not only the political aspects of it, and what it means, but also have to talk about the economic aspects of this whole thing. There are proposed boycotts on the table where many of you, and rightfully so, are proposing boycotts of non-black businesses, and you want to produce an economic stranglehold in America that your oppressors can feel. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. But I'm just saying as a word of caution, don't let it be some frivolous exercise where whenever you propose your boycott, that you run out to Walmart and you run out to Kmart, you run out to Sears and run out to this one and that one, but you say let's boycott. If you're going to do a real boycott, really boycott. Do it the way that the Panthers and others used to do it back in the day. Get you some placards. Get you some signs. Get out in front of the businesses and shut the businesses down if you're going to do that. Don't just make it be some talk and you just talking some talk and saying we ought to boycott as some kind of reactionary posture because you don't know what else to do. Don't do that. Make it a real boycott. All of you should go to newblackpanther.org and check out the three-step proposal plan of action that we're taking as a phase one on a political front. Number one, those of you who have not voted or you're not registered to vote, at least on a local stage and agenda, you should do that. There's more influence of the people, especially in particular black people, on a local and state level than there is a national level. Once you get to that national level, you know automatically you're going to have to deal with the Electoral College and all that type of stuff and all these rich corporations. But you have influence on a state and local level that you don't have on a national level. We want you to register to vote as Kwame Ture was doing in Lowndes County, Alabama with the Black Panther Party down there. He was registering black people to vote. Two, we want to recall the mayor and the city councilman. All the mayors and city councilmen that do not have the best interests of the black community, we want your behinds up out of there. We want you as black nationalism dictates. We want to be able to control and take over the politics in our own communities. We'll be working in conjunction with the National Conference of Black Mayors and other heavyweights in the black political arena to make this a real reality. And for three, for those who are serious about boycotting businesses, we completely support all efforts to boycott. And we in specific say that you boycott any business file that supported Officer Darian Wilson and the murder, the outright murder of Mike Brown. We're going to talk to Mr. Michael V. Roberts on that issue and on the issue of boycotts and economic strangleholds and how to leverage your own money. I read somewhere $1.1 trillion spent in the black community while we're talking about being broke and talking about what we don't have and this, that, and the third. There was somewhere an estimate of $1.1 trillion spent from the black community. But out of $1.1 trillion spent, that money did not circulate in our community one time. That means once the money hit our hands, that money went right out into another community. It did not go into your own business. It did not go into your own industry. It did not go into your own politics. It did not go into your own education. It did not go into your own agriculture. It did not go there. $1.1 trillion spent amongst us as a people. And that money did not stay in our community. That is a shame and a disgrace. How do we as a people squander $1.1 trillion? I'll tell you how we do it. Because everything that we're buying from Taiwan, we're buying from Japan, we're buying from China, we're buying from the stores and industries here in America and not investing into ourselves. We got to get serious about black investment, black infrastructure, black industry. We got to get serious. If you say you see the handwriting on the wall and you say you understand that you've been cut off and that you've been criminalized and that you're being treated like a second-class citizen, three-fifths a human being in 2014, what part of that makes you or me or us unserious about doing for ourselves and black industry? Think about it. What part of that makes you uncaring and unconcerned about getting $1.1 trillion? What I'm saying is we got the money. I don't want to hear no talk about us needing economics, and it's all about economics and black power is really green power. I'll be damned. You wasting and we're wasting trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars leaving our community. Leaving it and not circulating in our neighborhoods. Not circulating with us. Not circulating by things that we manufacture, things that we produce. Not circulating with us. But everybody else getting rich. Other cultures getting rich. You know, hell, the Chinese come in and sell all kind of rice to you, and sell all kind of weed to you, sell all kind of clothes to you. Arabs come in, set up all kind of liquor stores to you, sell all kind of swine to you, sell all kind of this, that, and the third to you. But you cannot sell yourself the very thing that you need. You telling me black people can't sell ourselves toilet paper? We all use toilet paper. Can't sell yourself underwear? We all need underwear. Can't get some sheep to put together the cotton to make clothes and make coats and make pants and make socks and all this? Telling me we can't do that for ourselves? That the cotton will only come if you're white, if you're Arab, if you're Chinese, Japanese, Chicano. It only comes if you're that. But black people can't do it? I don't buy that. That's laziness. That's disbelief in self. That is a disbelief in ourselves. We were the ones, our forefathers and foremothers, picked all that cotton, and now we've become lazy because we're scared that we'll be back in the same situation dealing with cotton. Back in the same situation because that 400 years of free labor is in our DNA. And so now we're like, we don't want to do it. We believe that we should be given some, hell, you are owed reparations. But reparations will be fought for. It'll be fought for. But in the meantime, in between time, we have to do something for ourselves. So let me at this point bring in our mighty, mighty, bold brother, our bold brother, our bold general, coming up out of Atlanta, Georgia, our national chairman, who will give us the political insight and the historical insight on all this happening to us. And then he'll bring in and bring on our guests to give us the economic side of this discussion. Let's bring on our mighty national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, Brother Chairman, can you hear us, sir?
Yes, sir. Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So I'm in a bad area, but we're going to try to make it through. But if something happens, be sure to keep doing just what you was just doing, but
yes,
I believe that God is the greatest.
That's right. I believe
that you have to be qualified to achieve. And I believe this is a point in time in history where our concerns have to be changed.
Yes, sir.
I believe, Brother Sean Kweli, that the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad got us ready for this hour.
Sure.
I believe the manipulation of our minds and the remaining manipulation that goes on that prostitutes us against ourselves, Khalid warned us about it. And I believe this Ferguson situation has put us in a position where we will have immediately halt to some of the issues that we call nigger mess. I believe what you were just talking about we've been talking about on Black Power Radio forever. Because I was just in a meeting talking about inheriting money and moving companies and trust funds. And when you get into the history of companies in this country, it all goes back to free labor.
Mm-hmm.
I just want our people to think about what you were saying about economic development. I want our people to think about how hard it is and how hard we work. When a child comes into our household and the mother and father sits, and there's a lot of black mothers and fathers sit, contrary to media, contrary to Rush Limbaugh and Fox, Hannity and Cone, and these devils who people listen to tell our story, ain't our story, and it's not our story. There's a lot of black families that sit the minute that baby comes into the household and start to plan that baby trust fund, college fund, what direction that baby's going. All black people are not poor.
That's right.
All black people are not on welfare. You have 50-something million black people in America, and we're the only group that get through in the same pile and judge the same no matter what. You can have a Harvard degree like Carter G. Woodson, who started Negro History Week and Black History Month. You can have a degree from Morehouse or Spelman or Howard or Clark or one of the fine black colleges, Grambling, on and on, or you can be then went to Berkeley or Yale or one of the rich white colleges. And you could have been done everything that this country asked of you and done it right, and you still a nigga.
Go ahead.
They wasn't only arresting young Bloods and Crips and Ferguson, they was arresting city council, the businessman.
That's right.
So tonight, as the FBI turned on his peak meters on his recorder, and as this nation turned on all its devices to see what Sean Quigley, the chief of staff, has to say, what do the chairman of the organization have to say so they can twist it tomorrow in their white media, in their newspaper? But there's something good about it, Sean, because if we wasn't making a difference, they wouldn't take the manpower. Believe me, it's a lot of manpower. We're going to talk about all of this tonight. They wouldn't take the manpower that it takes to keep up with this group that they say is so small in some of their articles and so powerless in some of their articles. They wouldn't use the resources and the manpower to deal with us. And the reason they don't do it because we are on Wall Street. They don't do it because we got money in Chase Bank or Wells Fargo or some of these banks and these institutions. They don't chase us because we're making touchdowns on Sunday. They don't deal with us because we're on TV One. They chase us down because we come with our God and our truth. And regardless of what man say, I want the black power listeners to know that truth always outlive a lie.
That's right.
And Brother Sean, a little bit of truth is like planting a seed. You've seen cotton fields and corn fields and wheat fields. You mess around, plant a little bit of truth, and it starts to grow.
That's right.
Before you know it, it covers acres. This white man is so cold-blooded, Sean, and now he got the corn seed, and we study food. Now he's patting the corn seed. He's patting the damn seed to the land. Now you can't get a seed unless you get it from him.
Right.
Anyway, let's try this 1 hour to stay focused for our listeners can leave with something that they can use. First of all, we got to I can't go into what I want to go into without bagging up and going into what you just went into. We talk about this, but people are not listening. Well, maybe they're listening now.
We got a lot of things going on that we have to talk about tonight and be clear, because our people are listening, and they're looking for leadership, and they're looking for a savior. But I want to confess to our people tonight on Black Power Leader, on Black Power Radio, the leader is you. The savior is you. It's not Shelly Kwali. It's not Hashim and Zinger. The power of truth is in you. Now, our damn problem is we want to leave it on Sean Kwali, for we can judge him in the tabloids. We want to leave it on Brother Hashim, for we can say either he fell, got killed, or he went to jail, or he made it. We don't want that pressure on us. So we say them, those words, you know those words. But Brother Sean Kwali, I say to you today that this nation is ran, and Ferguson has shown it, by media.
Mm-hmm.
Media is ran by commercials. That's how you get these $40 million, these $10 million commentators like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and Cohn and Bill O'Reilly and these folks who tell the world what to do every night. And these commercials are Wonder Bread, Dr. King used to say in his speech. It done changed a little bit, but it's still Coke. It's still Wells Fargo Bank. It's still Colgate. It's still McDonald's. Sound familiar, Brother Sean?
Yes, it does.
So it's a lot of the places that we spend that money with you talking about. So if we would stop going to Facebook and Instagram, wasting our time on all these love connection chat rooms, and start studying advertisers like we've been talking about on Black Power Radio, we see how many times Colgate talk about they're going to be the commercial for Channel 5, Fox News. And then we call the president of Colgate and say, as long as you are spending your money with Fox News, we're going to start using Crest. And if Crest do the same thing Colgate do, that's good for us, because eventually we'll go back to, I used to buy this toothbrush that black people were making. And eventually we'll learn that it might take a little suffering, but we can make our own toothpaste.
It's true.
But, Sean, at some point, we're going to have to learn.
Yes,
Dr. King and Rosa Parks did shit that Montgomery Bus Company down. That was one of the most racist companies in the country. They didn't shut it down because it was Dr. King and Rosa Parks. They shut it down because every black person in Montgomery stopped riding. And they didn't stop riding for 2 days, 3 days. They stopped riding for 300 and some days. And when that bus company was running them empty buses for the second week, they were still bombing houses. When they was for the first month, they were still calling people niggas. That 6 months, they were trying to figure out why we ain't got control of these niggas. But boy, by the time that 8 month company came and them empty buses riding there using that diesel, and the bank started telling the white bus only, we're gonna have to take some of these buses. You can't pay the payment. Well, he begged black people to get back on them buses. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
The only thing went wrong was I wish that we would have had been advanced enough to pool our money and buy a fleet of buses from Montgomery, and we ran our own buses. Now, let's stick with what you said for a minute, because it's so important to everything we're going to say in a minute. We talked about this on Black Power Radio. We talked about President Obama going to the GA summit several times. And we talked about when he went to the GA summit, wasn't none of the European countries representing the most powerful countries in the world, and they were going to make the decision of what goes on in the world. But we said when Europe and France and Britain and Germany and Russia, when all these white European countries was at that door, I mean at that G8 summit, and they had a black president from the United States, which was the most powerful person at the summit. When they started pulling out their financial plans and their future plans, none of those countries could do anything without Africa. But Africa wasn't at the table. But if Firestone and Goodyear was in there, they were talking about going to Africa to increase the rubber plants in Africa. Cracker was talking about coffee. They were talking about going to different parts of Kenya to get more coffee beans. They were talking about cell phones. They were talking about going to Nigeria to get the little gold that goes into the cell phone. They were talking about oil. They were talking about Nigeria and all parts, different parts of Africa and the Middle East. If they were talking about iron, if they were talking about ore, if they were talking about the basics of life, there's nothing none of these countries can do without Africa. So we got a little work to do with this trillion that we spend as 50 million blacks in America. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Sean, we got to add to that, that we are in a global society, in an international society, and Africa is waiting on some of the geniuses that look like them from this country to come and share some of the raw materials of the earth and come back to America and do for ourselves. Because as we say all the time, and it's true, you can't get on a plane to Ghana, 365 passengers, 400 passengers, two blacks and all whites. Why are they going to Ghana if they hate Africa so bad? You can't go to South Africa. You can't go to Kenya. You can't go to Namibia. You can't go to none of the parts of Africa without being with the Japanese, the Chinese, the people from India. Everybody going to Africa except us. Because I'm going to tell you today, and when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and throughout time, from the day they built Timbuktu for education, Africa has been the source of the world. And Africa is still the source of the world. And believe it or not, Africa is black. And we're not the majority in America, but we're the majority of the world, and the majority rules. And the white man, through the G8 summits and different things like that, have learned to work with his worst enemy to make sure he stays superior. Because it's all an illusion, and the illusion is coming clearer and clearer that the white man empire is about to fall. So he has always used deception, lies, and weapons of mass destruction to control the masses of the people, since he's not the majority, he's the minority. And so here we are in Ferguson. Here we are in Ferguson, being destroyed by media. Media is controlled in Ferguson. But now they got world media in Ferguson. And so the black struggle has looked that different. And if the Wall Street occupiers, who stayed in every American city, downtown in prime areas, for dang near 6 months, some of them, they brought no SWAT teams out. They brought no tanks out. They brought no National Guards out. They brought no highway patrol out. They brought more trash cans and more sanitation workers to clean up the mess every night. And they met their demands. But this Missouri governor, Jay Nix, ran out the highway patrol on black people because they want to see a prosecution by Robert McCutcheon involving the Michael Brown case. Ferguson has become a state of emergency, not because blacks are protesting, because of the policies of the police department that has ran rampant all over America, killing black males, unarmed black males with their hands up. And Ferguson just happened to be where enough is enough. It ain't Ferguson. It's the mindset of white man and the Klan, that's who they are, all over America. It's just been killing niggas. Kill a nigga month. Kill a nigga year. And then they pretty up their ways of using language with these commentators and these news anchors to make everything was justified. They should have knew, obviously, no race of people, no race of people who pay taxes, who are law-abiding, wouldn't organize against what's going on in America to black males. There's not one group of people that wouldn't be the birth this country up if it was happening to their black male. Because when you take the black male, you take the father. You take the leader of the house. You take the protector. You take the worker. And you destroy a race of people when you take the man out. And they've been doing it since slavery. It's nothing new. So now what they've done, they caused some things to happen that hadn't happened in a long, long time. They called the Missouri Green Party, the New Black Panther Party, the NAACP, councilwomen, councilmen, the Urban League, attorney, state senators, the Nation of Islam, the University of African People. They caused black organizations who ain't dealt with each other in years to start to come together in Ferguson.
That's true.
The AMM church, different Christian churches. I've seen it all, man. I've been studying it. Everybody getting involved. Everybody is beginning to see the policy and the practice of the policy or just lip service. And the demands that these demonstrators are making are very simple demands. They're making demands that America always said in a spirit by. You punish a murderer. You punish a killer. They've been doing that since the Western days and Gunsmoke. We've seen them with Andy Griffin and all these little simple shows. This country is built off of, they say rules and regulations, and when you don't follow, things happen. But anyway, we know we can get awful crazy trying to get in the mindset that to believe America is not manipulating when it comes to their constitution and their laws. They have nothing to do with the black man. And as they did in slavery, counting us as an animal and 3/5 of a man, they ain't never changed that mindset. So let's get to business. The New Black Panther Party, we put out 2,000 flyers at the National March on Ferguson. And it came from my desk that we're in Ferguson to stay. And before Ferguson exploded, we had a St. Louis chapter, and we had people living all over St. Louis in the Black Panther Party, so we're not outsiders coming in. Anyway, but I don't ever believe in the language. I don't believe in the language of outsiders coming in. I believe black people got the right to be wherever they want to be in the world anytime they want to be and don't have to give nobody permission to be anywhere. This is not slavery. You might need to mute your phone, but so I say, this is not 1615 or 1550, where we got to get permission to be somewhere. And unfortunately, they got enough of us on parole and probation, seeing probation officers, and still a form of slavery where we do got to, and I just went through, we do have to get permission to be somewhere. But I'm just telling you now, with us being under the fire all our lives, all our dad's lives, all our granddad's life, and all our great-granddad's life, when we go to anything after that is straight slavery, we're tired of being tired. Stop telling us where we can go and where we're supposed to be. To hell with that. You don't tell us a damn thing about where we're supposed to be. You don't have the right, you don't have the authority, the way you use and the way you abuse the black race, especially the black male, to tell us a damn thing, white man. Be clear with that.
Teach, Chairman, teach.
So what the saddest thing to the white man is, we're proving, Brother Sean, that the new Black Panther Party has more than one challenge. They want to always corner us and manipulate us into having to say black power, having to say kill crackers, kill whitey, all of this, which is part of the history of revolution. And as far as the history of a revolution, when the civil rights revolution came to be, you had black deacons in the church who took up firearms way before the Panthers and said, you ain't burning no more of my church, or we will kill you if you try to burn this church up. It's nothing new in America. It's not terroristic threats to say you're going to protect your land and use your first constitutional right, your second constitutional right, your third constitutional right, and then they destroy the fourth constitutional right. So when the Civil War came and the Union and the Confederate Army in this country matched up against each other, and the Union Army under Lincoln won with black soldiers fighting for the Union, and after they defeated the Congressional, after they defeated the Confederate Army, who came against America, who came against the Constitution of America, they got rewarded in the end. The South is stronger now than it was before the Confederate War. They got more land. They got more equipment on the land. They got more companies and Confederate kids to this day. Every year, Confederate soldiers who fought against the Union, who fought against the American Constitution, and they're in the White House as we speak. They're in the Senate as we speak. They're in Congress as we speak. They were rewarded for rebelling against the United States. When the British went against George Washington and Paul Revere said the British were coming, some of those same British that went against George Washington, that lost, live here, and their grandkids live here to this day, and they benefit from America. We are the only people on earth that have been totally destroyed by 400 and some years of slavery. 1763, 1765, proclamation is signed. But we don't get to vote until 100 years later, 1965. We don't get civil rights until 1963, a couple of days ago. And they just want us to be some happy, laughing, scratching, stepping fetches, sambo-ass niggas in 2014 like this country has done so much for us. But every damn race of people who have rebelled against this country and tried to burn this country, still live in this country, and are at the goddamn White House now, at the Senate House now, at the Congress House now, making rules for this damn country over the poor black people that their mothers and fathers crushed in slavery, man. Don't come giving us this beautiful picture of America like we're supposed to drop crocodile tears for white folks, because they know how to write a damn crooked-ass speech. And they know how to say something like this is such a rainbow, in such a great country, in such a respectful country. You do not have that damn history. Stop lying. And we, the Africans of this nation, have always been more intelligent than you. Well, we wouldn't be your president. We wouldn't be your attorney general. We wouldn't be owning colleges. We wouldn't be professors. We wouldn't be presidents of colleges. We wouldn't be presidents of banks. We wouldn't own black banks. We wouldn't be working in mass force, making trillions of dollars. We wouldn't know a Michael Roberts, who had dealt with over $1 billion, who had over 11,000 black employees, if we was the buffoon that you play us for. So the Black Panther Party is not one-dimensional. And the Black Panther Party, new Black Panther Party, like the original Black Panther Party, like the NAACP, like the SCLC, like Next in Action Network, and like every other black organization that try to fight for black people, have been infiltrated with agents. And if not agents, niggas that in trouble that done gave up that worked for the white man. So we had to come out from the leadership and put out our plans in Ferguson for you wouldn't sneak some of these Negroes in there acting like us and portray it as us, and you want us on a narrower scale that we're in there just to do damage. No, we're in there to do damage control. The damage has already been done. I stood over Michael Brown's grave. I packed his coffin. The damage has already been done. You took a life that can never come back to this earth. We're doing damage control. So here we are in Ferguson. Then we find out nobody knew nothing about no damn Ferguson to your ignorant-ass cop killed that innocent brother. So then we found out about this 250-year-old city called Ferguson. We found out it's got a Republican mayor and a white police chief and 53 people on the force and only three blacks and damn near 70% city of black people. And then we found out about the governor, some things about the governor of Missouri. We didn't know no damn Jay Nixon before this. You brought us here. So don't get it mixed up. We're here now. Nobody know who no damn Thomas Jackson was before his cop shot down an innocent man, racial profiler. And then the chief don't want to have no accountability for the violent murder of Michael Brown. So we decided to use all the phases of the New Black Panther Party because we got Christians, Muslims, businessmen, unemployed, employed, college kids, graduated from college. We got everything in the New Black Panther Party, strategists, lawyers. We decided to put on some of our other hats. And then our former 12-year chairman came out with the brilliant idea that he needed to go back and rebuild Black Lawyers for Justice. And if anybody want to check out Black Lawyers for Justice, go to www.blfjustice.org. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz rebuilt Black Lawyers for Justice, and it gave the New Black Panther Party what the NAACP was like in the 40s, in the 30s, in the 20s, when Charles Hampton Houston started the Legal Defense Fund for the NAACP and brought up people like Thurgood Marshall, and they started taking the wrongdoing of the Klan and white people to court and suing them for millions of dollars. America is based on one thing today, one thing tomorrow. This is a capitalistic society, and it's based on money and power and white people in high places with money that run this country and lobby for this country, and they will continue to do that. And I titled tonight's speech to the black nation, The Enemy of the State, because by accident, my daughter was watching the movie, The Enemy of the State, with Will Smith, that was showing this senator who got killed because he was trying to stop a bill that was going to destroy our Fourth Amendment rights, a fourth constitutional right, and they were going to be able to destroy our privacy. And they have done it. Damn country sits here 5 weeks ago and let the highest court in this country, the Supreme Court, pass a bill and say that the police cannot touch your cell phone unless they have a warrant for that cell phone. And they are right there in Ferguson. They took every damn black person's cell phone that they can reach their arm out and take it down and took the person to jail too. They don't give a damn about the Constitution. They don't give a damn about their highest court. Only thing the white man knows is crush a nigga. A nigga has no right. So the first thing we had to do is get with Attorney Malik Nunez Shabazz and the Black Lawyers for Justice and start a class action lawsuit. And I promise you, Brother Sean, I promise you, if we do what we're supposed to do, we will own the city of Ferguson because they have done enough in the last 6 weeks. And the first six people have came forward, but there's about 600 that have probably come forward. And when we do this $100 million lawsuit, it's $40 million now, but it will get well over $100 million. Ferguson do not have that check to write with all them white thieves over there with that mayor. They don't have the money. And another thing, why we out there standing our ground, like they say Cracker Zimmerman did in Florida, while we out there standing our ground and letting the United States Constitution bag us standing our ground, they cannot afford to leave state troopers. They cannot afford to leave local police and local SWAT teams out there every night. That police chief was so good when the governor. Yeah, you listen to me good. Black people don't know the effect they have on this city. When the old governor, Jay Nix, pulled out the local police and brought in the state patrols, that police chief had to pay for those police. And most black people are gone within 3 days. A week is over when you bring out SWAT teams and all the gas and all the tear gas and the smoke bombs that they were shooting at our people and at us. We usually disperse and go home. Then the governor had to take over, which made the state pay for the police. Then the National Guards, getting ready to come for the country, have to pay for the police because they cannot afford to stay out there in them streets if we stay in them streets, following our first, second, third, and some of our constitutional rights. We'll break that little town, Ferguson. So the New Black Panther Party plans are in Ferguson to stick with Attorney Shabazz and let help this civil lawsuit grow and get with the Justice Department and report every time one of those violators violates any black person's constitutional rights and add them to this class action lawsuit where we'll go to court and somebody will have to pay. So we came up with our plan, step one, photo registration drive. Easy to do. Next week it'll be on our website. You can download voter registration cards for that area, fill them out, turn them in, go online and register to vote. That's why Mayor Everett got shot in the back in 1963 in Jackson, Mississippi, to give us the right to vote. Step two, Malcolm X said you got to control the politics of your community. And I think when you got 68% to 70% time for you to control that community. So we recalling the mayor. And they got 70,000 votes to recall the prosecutor off the case. I know we can get the amount of votes we need to recall this mayor. And immediately after we recall this mayor, Mayor Jane Knowles, then we're going to bring in sister who's been on us, been with us and been on this show several times, Brother Sean, Sister Vanessa Williams, who the national director and executive director of the National Conference of Black Mayors, over 748 black mayors, and she's going to come into Ferguson with 15, 20 black mayors, and they're going to start doing what the conference, the National Conference of Black Mayors do. They're going to start to find someone who can run against James Knowles and beat him with these votes. And then as soon as this black mayor get in, yes, sir, as soon as this black mayor get in, then this black mayor can fire Thomas Jackson immediately and start to change the face of Ferguson. And while we're doing that, we're going to stick with Dr. King. We just talked about the bus boycott. We're going to boycott all business. And we're going to get with the city of Ferguson and people in that area. And then Michael Roberts, who's from St. Louis, who's an economic power in St. Louis, going to sit with us and consult us on any racist companies and any companies that we need to boycott. And along with the people, we will be having meetings to set up this voter registration, this recall of the mayor and some of the city council meetings, and which businesses we're going to boycott in the St. Louis new office on 1408 North Kingsway, Kings Highway, in the Michael V. Roberts building, where it's really named after his father, Victor Roberts building. We will be going into the Victor Roberts building, and we will be having mass meetings. This is ongoing, Brother Sean. And we'll get this recall together. We'll get this voter registration together. and we will help our people take over the politics in that community. And then after that, we're going to do what you was talking about, Brother Sean. We're going to get with Mike Roberts and other important people in that area, and we're going to develop some economic, do some economic development in that area so we can empower our community, empower ourselves, because we're not poor. We're spending the money.
That's right.
We're not going to ban this mission. So I just want people to know this is ground zero for the New Black Panther Party, and this is going to change the history of the New Black Panther Party, because we're going to dig in Ferguson, and we're going to show our people how to stick together, how to overcome sensationalism on this news. Now they even go into some of our original brothers with the original Panther Party, got them saying things against us, a couple of them. I want you to know, that ain't nothing new. They always use that too. Here is a group of people called America who from 1966 to 1974 or 5 bombed, attacked, killed every original Panther that they could get to. They killed Mark Clark. They killed Fred Hampton. They killed the youngest Panther, Lil Bobby. They started Coringa and the Panthers against each other with COINTELPRO, got them killing each other. They split Kiri and Evers Cleaver through the COINTELPRO. So it's nothing new if you're going to use the original Panther to say something about the New Black Panther Party. You did it with the original party. You used them against each other. It's nothing new under the sun that you turn black people against black people, cracker. You go find somebody then got in their 70s and 80s and get a comment from them because the young cubs are raising hell like he used to raise hell. Want people to stop talking about, well, they say there is no New Black Panther Party. We've been here 25 years. You're out of your damn mind. You go with what you hear or what you see. You've seen us in Gina. You've seen us in Paris, Texas. You've seen us in Jamestown, Virginia. You've seen us in New York. You see us everywhere our people need us. You've seen us down there in Stamford. Everywhere something happened to black people, you see us, and you're going to listen to them talking about there is no New Black Panther Party. It's just silly butt. But like I just said, that's nothing new. Between the original Panther Party, had over 10,000 members and split them up and made them fraction off to all kinds of groups and then picked them off one at a time and chased them out of this country and jailed them and drove them off the face of America. So we got that history. So we ain't worrying about that. What we are worried about, we want to tell everybody that if you live in Ferguson, you go down to your police department and you tell them to give you a complaint sheet. And when they give it to you, the top of it is going to say Ferguson Police Department Allegation Employee Misconduct Report. And you, every person in Ferguson should have four or five of them in their pocket. So if something happened to you where a police is doing you wrong, you give an attorney Malik Nuchibar so you can get part of that class action lawsuit, but you also fill out the date. You fill out the time. You fill out your name, your age, your sex, your address, your business address. Then you fill out the employee who did the complaint against, his name, his rank, his badge number, the date of the incident, location of the incident, nature of the complaint. Then the statement of complaint, which you fill out everything he did to you. Then you sign that complaint and date that complaint. And you go back to that police station and you turn that complaint in and you file that complaint. We do not take the time to protect ourselves, Brother Sean. And they say they done got so cold in Ferguson. Well, now they taking off the name and the badge on the officers. Talking about it'd be easier for them to put on that bulletproof jacket. So now they really showing their face. Every law agency has a number on the police car, has a name tag on the officer, and a badge number on the officer, because that officer is under the city. And the city is paid for by the taxpayers of that city. And the mayor is voted by the voters of that city. And the police chief is hired by the mayor. And the police chief rules supposed to serve and protect the people. And the reason they put a badge number on them and a name on them and a number on that car, if that police is corrupt, if that police is doing something illegal, then you can get his name, his badge number, and his car number, and you can go file a complaint on him. And you cannot stop that process, Ferguson. You piled enough evil and illegal activity up on illegal activity. From the minute Darren shot that brother, young brother with his hands up, and now you just gone crazy before the world. So we're tied, and we ain't going nowhere. And we ain't going to let no legal cover up or no profile in the Black Panther Party and all these things that we're not. FBI, been here 25 years, chasing us, and ain't never put down one of us in jail for doing nothing but pettiness. We ain't going to go for no police brutality. We ain't going for no more police killing. We ain't going nowhere. The masses are standing up in this mass demonstration for justice for Mike Brown has become an international thing, and the world is watching. And we feel that we're about to, Brother Sean, do what we should have done a long time ago. We're about to change some things. But I think this is our moment and our time, but we got to stay focused. So
yes, sir.
I want all the new Black Panther members to our website over the next 5 to 10 days. I want all the Panthers, like we said before, to keep coming in to Ferguson as much as you can, because this is ground zero. But I don't want no Panthers going down there, not passing out flyers of our plans, which we still going to have the printer print them up so they can be available. We don't want no Panthers going down there without passing out or showing people how they can register to vote or getting people signed up for the recall. And stay in tune with the website and Black Power Radio on Monday. We're about to start setting up these boycotts of businesses. And on the other side of the boycott, consulting our people on where to go start black economic development. Thank God for Ferguson. So we've been saying this for years. Man make a plan and God make a plan, and God is the best planner. This is divine. And Mike Brown's death would not go in vain. We going to show in Ferguson how black people all over America can start to take over the politics in their community. You got black people over the next 30 days. Those city council meetings in Ferguson will be so packed. You got black people who don't even know where the city council meets, let alone the agenda they meet. And we got a congressman here that when he was voted in, I called him a Uncle Tom, because he helped him in rig getting our 12-year congressman, Cynthia McKinney, who fought hard for us. But he got one thing going that I like right now. Put a bill on the Congress floor, Brother Sean, to stop police departments from buying military equipment and using it on citizens in the United States. And we finna get with him and help that bill get passed so these police departments can stop buying this powerful equipment and giving it to untrained 18, 17, 19, 20-year-old high school kids, because that's all you gotta have is a high school diploma to become a police. And the men in Iraq and Afghanistan that use that equipment, some of them have trained 20 years, 15 years, 8 years. You have to go through training to use that equipment. And we know, Brother Sean, that psychologically, when you get that kind of equipment, it has an effect on your mind psychologically. It makes you bigger than what you are. It makes you stronger than what you think you are. And it makes you more appreciative of your power. That's why some sharp people going to get big trucks and put big tires on, then they got to climb up in the damn thing because they want to feel bigger, man. There ain't nothing wrong with that feeling if you just want to feel bigger, but there is something wrong with it if you start taking advantage of people. And what I saw in Ferguson and what the world saw in Ferguson was worse than 1950 and 1956 and 1960 when they turned them dogs and them water holes on them babies in Birmingham, Alabama, and sprayed them babies with full blast water against them walls. And if you try to run from the water, you run to the dog.
Yes, sir.
So God has shown Ferguson hand, and they can point to Malik Zulu Shabazz. They can point to Sean Quali. They can point to Hashim and Ziegler, but goddamn it, we're going to point right back at you. And I believe Eric Holder and the Justice Department got enough video and enough footage. You didn't get all the cell phones. That your ass will be punished for this deed. And we know the police. We know the police. They going to slip. Now they have, I hear they wearing some cameras on their uniform. Should have been having them on their uniform, and we can see what happened to our brother Michael Brown. But I don't got no faith. I do not have faith. A group of white people somewhere sitting in the room drinking coffee talking about indicting the police officer. So I got to say it like Dr. King said it. It really don't matter now. We got some difficult days ahead. But I've been to the mountaintop. And I ain't only saw the coming of the Lord, I've seen the rise of black people. And I don't care what Ferguson say or what no indictments say, black people have risen from the ashes. The giant has woke up, and America would never be the same until it do right by black Americans and Africans that live here in America. We built this country. We suffered more than any other race of people in this country, and we sick and tired of it, and we ain't going to take it no more. And that's the point we're making on Black Power Radio, and that's the point that anybody that's a human being that was born on this earth, that got the history of America doing what it has done to us, will be saying and doing it. And if you ain't saying and doing it, you're less than a damn man. You're less than a human being. And you are three-fourths of a man or three-fifths of a man. And you are some damn person's cattle or sheep or damn goats. If you don't stand up against this, you don't pay a nation, punish your children. You don't pay a city to abuse your city or abuse your community. Brother Sean, Brother Mike Roberts, wasn't able to come on because he's in a situation in the Bahamas, but we will be bringing him on next week, and by then, we'll be in the plan, step three of our plans of action. So if anybody want to know what the Black Panther Party is standing for this hour, you go to www.newblackpanther.com. And you'll see for the first time in the Black Panther history that Sean Quali and Trey Shabazz and others have sent out some cease and desist letters. We're going to stop people from just playing with our name and playing with who we are.
That's right.
We're coming after anybody who use untruths and who think they can just slander our name and use our name and say all kinds of stuff about the Panther Party that's not true. And anybody who thinks they can send agents in there that just because they got a Black Panther suit on and a button, they can say something that you can use against us. It ain't happening. We got applications. We got a process. We can prove who's in this organization, who's not. So you can plot and plan at the highest level. As we talking, you plotting and planning. God damn it. We'll see you in court. We will see you in your courtrooms. I think black people understand now that the new Black Panther Party is the realest thing they got left, and they need to start supporting. Brother Sean Carly, we appreciate you for staying steadfast. I want to tell the new Black Panther members, get tight, tighten your belt, get your books back out, start back studying, get ready to make a change, pray to your God, get forgiven for your sins, straighten your back up. Call somebody telling you love them in this party and organization. Stop the backbite. We got work to do now. We've been waiting on this hour. Harriet Tubman got us ready for this hour. Frederick got us ready for this hour. Ida Wells got us ready for this hour. Dr. Collins got us ready for this hour. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz got us ready for this hour. And the white man got us ready for this hour. This is an hour where we must stand tall. And we must use all our intelligence, all our finance, and all what our people and our ancestors have put into us to empower ourselves. And we're ready to take our communities, and we're ready to search for new members, and we're ready to, for the first time, write a new chapter in this country history called America. Black Power, Brother Sean.
Black Power, Brother Chairman. Black Power. mighty, mighty chairman. Brothers and sisters, that has been our national chairman, New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Minister Hashim Nzinga, and he certainly laid it out there in a way that even the babies can understand, and we echo every sentiment and must carry out every order and instruction that he has left with us. I would say thanks for all who are signing up to be a part of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense from all across the country, and your registrations are being processed, and of course, as many of you know, we're getting right back to you. And for those of you who have not yet signed on to help this great, great mission and help us push this program forward, as you just heard our national chairman speaking on, you can email us at either newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. Again, newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. Or just call 347-903-0886. Again, 347-903-0886 to do what many other brothers and sisters all across this nation are doing, which is registering with the New Black Panther Party and working towards self-determination, black laws for black people, black power for our people, and to help our people walk in the light of a brighter sun. Let's support the works and the plan of our national chairman, the General Hashim Nzinga. As I told you, step one through step three can be found on newblackpanther.org or newblackpanther.com. newblackpanther.org is our website, newblackpanther.com as well. And y'all keep in tune and keep in touch with us and stay tuned for upcoming developments as we push forward to help our people to get up. We got to help each other get up, help ourselves to get up, and help our people to get up. And so Black Power Radio will continue to be the uncompromising voice and champion in the radio world for black people. And the New Black Panther Party will continue to be the organizational vehicle for self-determination, which is called Kuja Chagalia, black nationalism and black power, which define, develop, and defend what is in our best interest. Call those numbers. Get with us on our emails. Stay tuned for much, much more as we push this program forward against every odd. As Minister Malcolm X said, we don't want to hear you old handkerchief head Negroes talking to us about no odds. It's organizing time. Black power to black people. Remember, it's power to the people. It's black power for black people. And remember this, people are not free. There is nobody that's free. We will close this show out with the words of the beautiful, great, late Tupac Amaru Shakur. It's soldier time, soldier story, black power.
They cutting off welfare. Picking crime is rising there. You got white killing black. Cops killing black. And black killing black. Shit just gonna get worse. Bitches gonna come some. Straight soldier.